Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Lord, I thank you for Bob and the calling on his life, Lord, and the offices that you've given him to walk in. Lord, I thank you for who he is in your kingdom, Lord. I thank you for stirring in him the book of Zechariah, Lord, that we can benefit from the stirrings that you have stirred in him. So, Lord, we just say yes and amen. Lord, I ask your fresh anointing upon him for not only this day, but for the teaching of Zechariah in the days ahead. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Prepare our hearts to hear your word today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I'm excited to share today, but I just want to start this morning to say I'm very thankful for God, if I make it through this one. But I'm just real thankful for my wife, Deanna, and who she is in the Lord. And how you don't see her very much, but behind the scenes, she's a mighty woman of God. And she always seeks him every day. I just love you and thank God for you. Okay, deep breath. Well, this morning, I don't have a lot of time to go into the book of Zechariah and share a lot of it today, but I definitely want to get your gaze and your focus to turn toward the book of Zechariah. I also want to share with you how I feel strongly that the Lord's finger is on this book for us. To know it, to study it, to allow it to be a part of our lives. And many of you, maybe just like me, I've read through Zechariah, but I've never really studied it the way God has pointed to study it now. Some of you may know a little bit about the book. Of course, you know the one scripture that everybody knows in Zechariah 4, not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord. And that comes from Zechariah chapter 4. But this book is an amazing book. And the reason I say that is because it is filled with positive accolades. It is filled with hope. It is filled with courage. It's filled with instruction. It's filled with guidance for us, even in our day today, even though it was given 500 years before Christ. This book is amazing. This book will overwhelm you if you allow it. You see the banners up going deep in the Word. We always want to go deep in the Word, but this year the Lord just focused on that more than ever to declare the Word of God, to proclaim it, to eat it. And what that meant was, you know, to not just live off of milk, but go into and get the meat of the Word into your lives. Also to enjoy the Word of the Lord. The Lord should be life to us. It should be enjoyable. You don't have to raise hands, but how many, just think about this, live sometimes more in a place of being miserable than joyful in the things of God? I don't want to live in misery. I want to live in the joy of the Word of God that apprehends my life and is life-giving to me. If I want to be a good father, if I want to be a good husband, if I want to be a good leader, the Word of the Lord has to have its way in me. And then, of course, to pray it, to declare it, to pray it, to eat it, to enjoy it, but to pray the Word, to allow the Word of God to really have access into your life each and every day where you can pray the Word to the Lord and over your circumstances. Lord Jesus, help me to be rooted and grounded in your love. You pray the Word into your life. And I hope that by just focusing on this book that you'll begin to read it. And you'll begin to ask the Lord, what is your heart about this book? What do you feel about this book? Why is Pastor Bob up there focusing on this book? And I believe he will reveal it to you. I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes. Because I believe that even in this hour, even in this moment, even in this time, that this book being brought to the forefront, Zechariah, is a lot of our history, is a lot of where we are, and is a lot of where we're going. As individuals and as the body of Christ, I believe this book will have more revelation to you than you would ever even think it would. I believe that this book, it's the most prophetic book in the Old Testament besides Isaiah. It is filled with prophecy. It's filled with hope. It's filled with understanding. And I was just saying to Michael Johnson when we came in early this morning, I was talking to him, I said, you know, Michael, if people would of high intellect in some of the greatest colleges, if they could just begin to study the Word and see how the Word fits together divinely, and that they would know that, they would say, oh my, I cannot believe that God has done this. Do you know that Jesus is all through the book of Zechariah? He's there. He's always been in the Old Testament. And he is in the New. He is there. And he's speaking to us through the prophet Zechariah and trying to prepare us and to make us ready. Give yourself a chance, an opportunity. And I just want to prepare you too that, you know, we're just starting to look into this book. I'm going to be teaching it on Friday mornings in the House of Prayer at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 to 11. So if you have an opportunity to come that day, if you're not working or if you own your own business and you can reschedule your time, I encourage you to come on Fridays. But I'm going to start it in the House of Prayer, 1 hour, 12 sessions, and then I'll bring it back into the church. But I'm also going to be teaching it from Sunday morning, but with broader strokes. And then I'll probably do the turn class earlier from 9:30 to 10:30 once I finish in the House of Prayer. Because we're just beginning to learn about this. I mean, I'm so filled right now with this book, I didn't even know where to start this morning. I was like, Lord, there's just so much. In the book of Zechariah, there's some authentic prophecies to draw your attention to. It prophesies about Jesus entering into Jerusalem when he was born and he came into Jerusalem. It speaks about him entering in on a colt. It also prophesies about the 30 pieces of silver that was exchanged to give him up for his crucifixion. That's in the book of Zechariah. So there's already scriptures that have been fulfilled in this book that grant authenticity. And I believe the other prophetic words are also going to come to pass because the Lord is true. I believe that understanding of this word is crucial. The book is a major part for us, encouragement. The Lord cries out at the beginning of this book, and I'll share those scriptures in a moment, when he cries out to the people and says, repent, return to me, right at the beginning of the book. The whole book is pretty much just overwhelmingly hopeful and encouraging. But at the first six verses of the book, God cries out, and he says to Zechariah, tell the people that are now there building the house of prayer in Jerusalem, and I'll set you up a background here in a minute, but he said, tell those people that their fathers, I was angry with them. He says, I was angry with them because they didn't repent. When Jeremiah cried out to them and said, you need to turn from your evil and turn toward God, they wouldn't listen. And Jeremiah prophesied that they were going to go into captivity, and they did. And you know why God was angry? You know why he was angry? Let me just give you a little bit of the insight into why he was angry. He was angry because the Israelites had started worshiping demons in the house of the Lord. That's a true story. It's in the Word. They started having false worship and worshiping idols and demons. That's why he was angry. He was upset and he said, if you would just repent and come back to me, I will come to you. Amen. And you know what? Repentance is getting a bad, bad rap. Because we want to live in the grace of God, and we know that we live in the grace of God. But many times we take the grace of God and make it an excuse to sin over and over and over and over, doing the same thing and trampling underfoot the grace that saves us, never truly repenting, which means to turn away and change your mind about the sin. And so God is crying out, I love you. Don't you understand what I want to do? And he says, the Lord of the hosts asked you to turn around, to repent. The Lord of the hosts, that means the captain of the army, That host is a military word. And he's saying, I have all these angels at my disposal. The author, the creator of all things. He says, I have all these angels at my disposal. And he says, even the moon and the stars and the sun are part of the hosts of heaven. Because I control everything. And he's saying, I'm not threatening you to turn around and repent, but I'm telling you that I've got a host, an army here ready to defend you against your enemies if you'll just come back to me. God wants us to come back to him. I'm very passionate about this, guys. I love the word of the Lord. And I love what the Lord is trying to say to us in this hour. And he's trying to say to you, to just come back to him. No matter what you have to do, that you come back to him and you repent. And again, like I said, I do believe that too many people, I love the grace of God and I'm so thankful for it. But you know what? God had grace even back in the Old Testament. I won't get into the story, but he had grace back then. A lot of grace for his people. Not the grace that we receive now through what happened to Jesus. But God was, yes, he was a God of grace back then, and he was a God of judgment. And God wants to warn his people and his church that his judgments are coming to the earth. Another very unpopular message. And then people will say, you know what? Jesus was not one of judgment. He was the one of, you know, he's a God of love. Yes, he is a God of love. We sang about it. But he also is the great king of the city who's going to bring judgment to the earth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Turn to John. I'm skipping here. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, starting with verse 22. So when people say to you, well, Jesus, he didn't judge. It was nothing about judgment. In 22, this is Jesus' words. For the Father judged no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, Jesus, and those who will hear him will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And verse 27, here it is. And has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of God. The Lord wants us to get this book to understand his ways so that we can fulfill what God has called us to do. Not by man's might, not by man's power or woman's power, but by the Spirit of God. And that scripture applies to every ministry, every church, every calling that's on your life. That God is saying, if you want to fulfill what God has for you, you can't do it in your own power and your own might, but only by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through our lives. It does not mean that there's not a human effort that goes along with doing the things of the Lord. We are to cooperate with God and each other and to sow in and to do things. But the end result is that we trust in the Spirit of God to fulfill any calling, any ministry, anything that we have. Again, this book is major. And let me share this with you. When God is calling us to repentance, you know why he's doing that? So he can have relationship with us. That's what it's all about. It's about relationship so that you can have the hope and the joy and the blessings of the Lord to fulfill your destiny and calling in God. That's why. That's why he's doing it. The journey through Zechariah. I hope you don't. I've said it already. I want to say it again. Don't reject this statement. But I believe God's divine touch is on this ministry right here to receive this message from Zechariah. I believe that he's highlighted it. I believe that he's trying to draw my attention and your attention to it. Now and until the return of Jesus Christ. Again, I've said that this book contains more prophecies concerning the Messiah and the end time plan of God. even than most of the books throughout the Old Testament except Isaiah. This book testifies of somebody that I'm madly in love with, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth. It testifies of who he is and why he's come. It's amazing. It testifies of his mission. It throws great light on the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord. It throws great light to understand what that's all about. The book of Zechariah, I believe that when he was a prophet, he was a young prophet. And I believe that when God started giving him visions and he started speaking to the people, that he was speaking because God was wanting to bring a complete spiritual change to where the people were living and where they were at. A complete spiritual change to awaken them to the heart of God. Why this book? Maybe because God wants you to know his heart. He was trying to awaken them to say, listen, this is my heart. This is who I am. This is the things that will take place. This is how much I love you, people, friends. The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord needs to go forth in our lives. The fear of God needs to grip our lives. Let me share with you why I believe this book is so important through a testimony. And then we'll look at some scripture. I also believe, guys, that this book has a lot to do with the house of prayer, establishing day and night worship. But let me share this with you. Again, a lot of people don't want to hear the word anymore. The word of the Lord is speaking. I got to testify about this so that you can understand, how did you draw attention to this book? Why are you moved with this book? And I think that the word says, I know that the word says that we overcome him by the shed blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I know that by me testifying about how this came about, it's part of our prophetic destiny. It's part of our prophetic history. In October of 2011, I had something happen to me. I went to bed. I have never heard the audible voice of the Lord before in my whole life. I've always heard the Spirit speak in my inner man. I've had visions and I've had dreams from the Lord. And I laid down one night in October 2011. I had just laid my head back on the pillow. And as soon as I laid my head back, I was not sleeping. I heard an audible voice say to me, "What do you see?" And when I heard that, I jumped up on the side of the bed. At first, I thought it was my boys messing with me. And then I realized, no, that was the Lord. I could sense the presence. And immediately out of my mouth, I said this. Immediately, I said, "I don't know, Lord. What do I see?" And there was silence, nothing but silence. Didn't hear anything. Didn't have a dream that night. Never heard another word. But I know that I know that I know that I heard an audible voice behind me saying, "What did you see? What do you see?" The next day, I came to the core leadership meeting excited to tell them about what I heard from the Lord. And they said, "What'd you hear?" I said, "He asked me, 'What do you see?' 'What else?' 'That's it.' 'Nothing else?' 'No, that's it.' 'Well, what do you see?' 'I don't know.' That's exactly how it happened. 'I don't know, but I know it was the Lord.' And so about 2 or 3 months go by. I start looking up in scripture, you know, where it says, 'What do you see?' But yet not, I have come to Zerubbabel in the book of Zechariah in chapter 4. I haven't come to that place. I haven't looked at that place. And I looked at Jeremiah when that question was asked and other places in the scripture. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call from Corey Stark. And Corey says to me, he says, "Hey, well, first of all, we had a conversation. And by the things I said and what I told him, he said, 'Man, you need to get this message from Mike Bickle. It's a message that he gave only to the staff. And it's on Haggai.'" Well, again, knowing the book of Zechariah, Haggai and Zechariah, those two books are right next to each other. Haggai is only 2 chapters. Zechariah is 14 chapters. And Haggai and Zechariah are the two prophets that speak into Zerubbabel and Joshua so that they can accomplish what God has called them to do. So he told me about this message from Haggai. And so I get the message. And a little ways through the message, Mike Bickle says something like, "Be courageous, Zerubbabel. What do you see? Be courageous." And so when I heard that, I thought, oh, that's it. And so I listened to that and read Haggai and thought, you know, that's the fullness of it. It wasn't. It was just beginning to point me in the direction. And again, I had to understand Haggai before I could even start understanding Zechariah. And so what took place after that, some time had went by, and I still didn't really get the fullness of what God was saying. And then David Raymer and I ended up going to a conference in Kansas City, a three-day intensive about the book of Zechariah. And while we were there in that intensive, about a quarter of the way through, Mike Bickle says, many of you are here. First of all, he said he was amazed at how many people came for this book during this time. There were thousands of people there for the book and for the teaching, a three-day intensive. And about a quarter of the way through it, he finally says, you know, many of you that are here, you've been asked the question, what do you see? And when he said that, it really messed with me. And I was like, yeah! You know, but there were many there. I don't know if they've heard it audibly, but there were many. So what I'm trying to do is to verify and validate how the Lord has led this up prophetically in order to point the finger saying, read this book. Understand this book. Then after the seminar, I really realized that I had to start reading this book. And then the finality of the whole thing ends up that I get an opportunity to go to Israel, not knowing that this is going to be another end piece of this puzzle regarding Zechariah. Because, see, the book of Zechariah is talking about Jerusalem, and it's talking about Israel. And you say, well, how does that apply to me in my area? Everything is going to happen through Jerusalem. God is not going to forsake Jerusalem. And God is zealous for that city because it's the city of the great king, Jesus, who's going to come and rule and reign. And his government is going to be established from Jerusalem. And so there's a great zeal for Israel and Jerusalem that I never understood. I even heard that Abraham Lincoln wanted to set feet in the Holy Land. That was one of his desires. And I would just say this, that when I was there, there was a moment, and it's in the book of Zechariah now that I understand it. It talks about the Mount of Olives, where Jesus returns. And there was a moment when I walked into the eastern gate of the old city, and as I walked through and I looked back and something got me in my spirit, and I turned around and I realized there's the Mount of Olives and the eastern gate, and Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives, and he's going to come through the eastern gate. And I was amazed. I was like, oh. So that's how I know. Turn to Zechariah 8, 1 through 3. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. This is God. And in this, you'll understand as we get through that, that Lord of hosts right there is Jesus speaking. He says, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor, I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, because his government will rule and reign. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. Have you ever read this? I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. Why? Because all truth and righteousness will be administered from his throne from Jerusalem when he comes back. The mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, thus says the Lord of hosts. Jerusalem is going to be the end time stage, is where the drama is going to be played out. Why do you think God wants us to know this book? He wants us to understand how things are going to be played out in the days ahead, so that we're not caught or living in a place of fear, but in a place of understanding and in a place of truth in the Word, and that we're courageous and we're hopeful because we know that his plan is the plan that we need to be following. Zechariah's message is to call each and every one of us back to wholeheartedness, transformation. That's why he's saying turn back. He wants us guys and gals to be faithful to him, not obedience out of duty, but obedience out of desire, because we love him and we know him. And he's calling us to intimacy. He's calling us to himself. These prophecies that are in the book of Zechariah, again, will awaken your heart and awaken you to the calling God has for you to finish it, to fulfill it, to not walk away from it. And you know what? I have to say this. Without the prophetic anointing, without the prophetic speaking into us, Roy and Emily, without it happening, then nothing will be fulfilled in anyone's life, because it takes the prophetic ministry whether it's from those two or others, to encourage us for the days ahead and to walk out what God has called us to. The prophetic anointing is absolutely necessary for us to move forward in whoever you are walking in it and called to it. We can't live without it. Let me explain why. In the book of Zechariah, you've got four players, four personalities, besides angels and Jesus and the Father and all the other things going on. You've got four personalities. You've got Zerubbabel, who was a governor over the complex. Zerubbabel is in the book of Zechariah, and he was to help bring the finances, things in, to oversee the complex, to make sure that things were where they needed to be. So what? So that the house of prayer, worship and prayer, day and night, can function before the throne of God. And he was in unity. Then you have Joshua, not the Joshua of old, but Joshua who is a priest. And this priest is to equip the singers and musicians and the watchmen and the people to minister before God day and night, night and day. The other two is Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai being the older prophet, Zechariah being the younger prophet. Zechariah in one night, we'll go through each vision, but Zechariah in one night received eight visions. Can you imagine just getting one vision and waking up? He had eight visions. Like, whoa, eight visions. God wants us to know exactly what those visions meant. He wants us to see the word of God and see Jesus. Understand what the red horse means. There's horses. There's all kinds of things going on. It says the man is on a red horse in the myrtle trees in a hollow. The man is on a red horse. The man is Jesus. Jesus is on a red horse that represents his judgment and war. So Jesus is riding on a war horse in the myrtle trees, and the myrtle trees are small pine trees that are grow about 8 feet, and they're the most humble tree that's around according to the cedars and other larger trees around. So there they are in humility. The war horse is in the midst of humility. Jesus, and he's ready with the army of the Lord to defend all the enemies of Jerusalem and Israel. Today, if they only knew who's on the red horse right now in their midst of Jerusalem, and his angels search the whole earth continuously. This is real. You know what? I would really be very cautious in my life. Or I would be very humble, and I would humble myself as much as possible to begin to have a hunger to know the word and the depths of the word and to apply it into my life and to apply it as I walk things out in my life. And if there is like not a stirring or a desire in you, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, just like I do, will you take me and move me into the place of hunger for the word of God so that I would know it inside and out? That's what you need to do. And if you don't feel anything right now, you need to be concerned. I like amens, but you can keep amening all day long. I love it. But I want to say this. Sometimes we try to do a lot to act like we know that we are spiritual. I don't believe that at all by her. I know that she's amening, praising God. But I'm saying, how much is done to draw attention to ourselves than to be really in the place of intimacy and knowing God? How much? How many manifestations sometimes are fake and not real? How many? I've watched it. I've been in the trenches. I've seen it. And God is asking for us to be authentic and real with him. And when it happens, rejoice and give him praise. But don't try to pretend in any way, shape, or form. It nauseates the Lord. Obedience out of desire because you love him, not out of duty. Let's go to just one scripture, and then I'll go to the beginning and run through it. I have time. Go to Zechariah chapter 4, 6 and 7. This is that scripture that you know you've heard so much about. I've kind of said it already, but I want to just kind of focus on it again. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountains? This is so powerful because when it's not... When you complain about all the things that aren't going right, that should be going right, you're giving heed to the enemy to just keep you in a place of captivity. I'm telling you, you need to get out of that. And I tell you, that's what I had to get out of. And I had to repent and say, no, no more, no more. When you start complaining about all the things that aren't going right, the scripture is saying to you, not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, he's saying that if you're where you need to be in a place of heart connection with God, in a place of repentance with God, he will come and support you. And any mountain of distraction that comes against you or resistance, that he will level it. And that's what that scripture's saying. He'll level it by his spirit. Because he wants you more walking in fulfillment than you do. And so he'll level it. Oh, great mountains of resistance. He'll level them. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. The grace of God functioning. The might and the power, again, it's human ability. Zerubbabel couldn't put his hope in anything but Christ, in God. And it was the Lord speaking to him. Again, I want to reiterate that it takes effort from all of us to move forward. And we need to value human effort and working together in unity. And how that happens. But I just want to say that the Lord requires our effort. But without the Spirit's help, it ain't going to happen. Amen. It ain't going to happen. Says the Lord of hosts. Let's go back to the beginning. And again, I don't have time to go in to set up it all in a historical aspect. Although I will. But let's just read over these first six verses. And I want to tell you, I feel the passion of God on this. I feel the wind at my back. I feel the love of God on this. And he really wants you to return to him. He wants me to return to him with everything I have. He wants me to make no excuses. And he wants me back where I need to be with him. I think he wants that, of course, for all of us. But if you look in Zechariah chapter 1, this is, again, the whole book is positive. It's encouraging. This is really the only really negative part of the scripture. It's not really negative because it's talking about relationship. That's what he wants. But he's laying it out to them. And starting with verse 2, he says, this is Zechariah speaking to the people. He says, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore, again, what I shared about Jeremiah and how they forsook the Lord and was worshiping demons in the temple. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, again, the Lord of the army of God, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, he will defend any enemy you have. If you return to him, he is on your side. You couldn't have anybody better on your side. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets they preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. That is the fulfillment of the scripture. That's how the book begins. And these folks, there was 50,000 that left Babylonian captivity. They were in captivity because of their fathers. They were in captivity because of their fathers because they disobeyed and they forsook the temple of the Lord. And so Jeremiah prophesied to them and they went into bondage. And they went into captivity, Babylonian captivity. And he said, Jeremiah said, in 70 years or so, you're going to be freed up and you're going to be able to return to Jerusalem. Now, it was a long way from Babylon to Jerusalem. And sure enough, 70 years, the Lord spoke to who? He spoke to Cyrus. Cyrus, who was a heathen king, Gentile king, and he released the people from slavery. And he gave them money and financed their trip to go back and to establish the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit. And so they went back to Jerusalem. Zechariah had to be a real young kid in this journey. And when they got back there, they started building the house of the Lord. And for 2 years, things went really good. And they were all excited. And then all of a sudden, all the distractions, everything started happening. Their desires changed. And they started focusing on their own house, their own houses and their own businesses and was forsaking the worship and the prayer and the offerings to the house of the Lord. And so after 2 years, God said enough, and he uses the prophet Zechariah to stir a people out of a place of apathy and complacency to do what God has called them to do. I believe that God wants us to know this book because he wants to stir every one of us out of any apathy that remains or complacency and to do what God's called us to do and to fulfill what he's called us to fulfill if we will turn to him. Now, I'm going to ask you to take the book of Zechariah. You may not understand it all, but just begin to read through it, study it, and ask the Lord to reveal his heart regarding this book and why is this being highlighted. You know that Z that we saw when we were worshiping in Israel? Remember that Z for Zion? The zeal that God has for Zion? Zechariah? Maybe the Z was Zechariah. I don't know. But that's another confirmation of the Lord just saying, get your eyes on this. Know this. Impart this. Teach this. Don't stop crying out about it. Oh, it is amazing. It is amazing. I'd love to go into the first vision. I would love to go into the first vision, Lord. I want you to read it and take time. Again, I'll go back to the beginning and say, I believe the finger of the Lord is on this for you. And you may say, well, you know, there's other books in the Bible. Well, yeah, there is, and I love it all, and you should too. But as a leader here in this ministry, I'm telling you that the Spirit has spoken to me. I'm not a perfect guy at all. I mess up a lot. But God has compelled and loved on me and forgiven me. And he's saying, get the focus on this book. And when you begin to teach it and equip people for the region, for the nations, we need to know this inside and out, the whole thing. But we need to know the book of Zechariah right now. And so I ask for you to pray. I ask for you to ask God. Michael, will you come up? I just want to pray too. I ask for the hunger of the Lord. And I ask that even when we pray, you don't zone out or you think about other things. I ask that you get serious about, I'm right here. And it says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. He is the war horse. The man on the war horse is right here in our midst. He says that he would be. And he wants to war on our behalf. And he wants to help us. And so we just need to ask him to reveal his word. A big thing about this ministry is that we're back on track of establishing day and night worship to the Lord. Not for anybody, but for him. And then when we get it right with him, the people that will come in will be ministered to greatly. It's already happening. God wants a tabernacle with us on Sunday. He wants a tabernacle in a burning, flaming house of his presence. Most people won't receive that. But see, that's what happened. They went back. They went back to doing their thing. They went back to their houses, to their own entertainment. They went back to doing their thing day in and day out. They went back. They went back to pornography. They went back to all these things, lying and cheating and stealing. And he's saying, hey. I'm the Lord of hosts. I got a plan for your family. Dads, moms, I got a plan. You want it? Or you want to be hard-headed? You want to have a cold heart? Or you want to take time for me to soften that heart of yours and give you treasures in my word that will prepare you and equip you for the days ahead? Please, I don't care how old you are or how young you are. The word of the Lord wants to have its way with you, wants to equip you, wants the joy manifesting through your life. wants you not to worry, wants you not to fret, wants you to start loving, wants you to be man enough and woman enough to face those things that you know you need to face and die, wants you to fast. This book is about fasting. There's a lot about fasting in here. Why? Because it raises up your spiritual person, your spiritual man, your inner man, the spirit, the essence of who you are, and it wages war against your flesh, your continual appetite for the flesh. My continual appetite for the flesh. Awaken all of us more, Lord. And if you feel like you've arrived somewhere, you have something going on in the spirit, or hey, I've been in the trenches a long time, I know this, I know that. You know what? I would say humble yourself. Humble yourself and be a reflection of who He really is and how He really loves. And some of you are doing that. I know. Awesome. Keep doing it. Keep going for it. Keep worshiping. If you say it's not the right song, you got a problem. You hear what I'm saying? Because God wants your heart to engage His heart. It doesn't matter. He wants you to engage with Him. Where two or more are gathered, He's in their midst. God's wanting to create a kingdom culture here. That's what this is about. It's about coming away from this. We're entering into a time that we need to understand who He is and who we are and what He's about to do and be able to walk it out, proclaim it, teach it, encourage others that are doing it. Let's pray. Stan, why don't you? Let's pray. Oh God, as I prayed this morning, Lord, for everybody in here, I ask, Lord, that You would make us hungry, that You would help us, that we would be a people of encouragement, a people that would return back to You. Holy Spirit, will You just move right now on us? Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we want Your heart. We want to know Your word. We want to come back to You. We want to trust You. Heal us. Someday we will behold You on a horse with those that have went before us on horses returning in a great procession. We want to be ready. Yes, God. Caleb, give me my phone. Just keep praying. I want to find something. I want to play it for you. Play a message for you on my phone. I have to find it. Be patient. Keep praying. It's from Jerry Reeder. When I I play this for you. He's my hero. As you can tell, I wasn't prepared to do this.
I haven't communicated with you. I haven't felt really like doing much. The malaria, I think, is broken. I'm still taking the residual medication to clear out all the remaining malaria germs. And I have a massive infection in my right leg between my knee and my ankle. My foot is, that leg is swelled up and red, but this morning when I woke up, it's not as red as it was, so I think that's starting to subside. It happened when I was swimming in the river with the fires, and I slipped and scratched my leg on a rock under the water, and let something into my body, but that seems to be getting under control as well. I've really not been doing anything except resting at Klaus's house out on the coast. And this Saturday, for me, that's 4 days from now, I'll be getting on the plane to head home, and I'll be home on February 11th. Thank you. Ethel told me that she heard that you were praying fervently for me yesterday because you sensed something was wrong. You were hearing the Spirit. That's right. So thank you, and thank everybody for your prayer support, for your concern. I can't tell you how much I depend on you guys for your intercessions. We've had a lot of one-on-one ministry to a burned-out missionary this morning and to others along the way, as well as preaching a few times. Oh, I preached to some of the Fayus on the end times. They had never heard Matthew 24 before. I went over it with a group of the elders in the tribe two times, one day and the next day. And they were amazed. First they were scared, and then I told them about the second coming procession, and they were happy again. Oh, my. There's going to be some standing on the banks of the Rufar River with arms outstretched, looking up at the coming of Jesus, and they're going to be translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and going to be caught up to be with our Lord in the air. Anyway, that's the news from here. We'll see you, man. Love you. Bye.
Okay, the reason I played that, some of you may not know him. He's 75 years old. He's went to Dubai, and then he traveled in to where his buddy Klaus translated the Bible to a tribe and even created their own how to read and how to write. He's been there. He was swimming with them in the river at 75. He is going hard after God at 75. He's my hero. And I want to say to you, please do not take this message this morning that I was bashing anyone. I'm just trying to stir you and stir myself onto the things of God. And I want to finish strong. And when there's great resistance against you, it has a lot to do with the calling that's on you. And so you stand strong. Ask God to give you courage, give you hope, and speak to you in the midnight hour and the night seasons, and let him begin to restore you and revive you onto the things he's called you to. And don't look back, don't give up, don't complain, and don't worry, because all things are possible with God. You take that with you today, and you take that 75-year-old missionary that we support that's out there doing his work and say, yes, I can still do more for the kingdom as I'm led by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day. Go in peace, and may the Lord bless you, and may you begin the journey through the book of Zechariah and understand exactly what it means from the first chapter to the end chapter 14. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Love you. Come to the meeting place. I'll be speaking Tuesday night. It's another opportunity. I'll be speaking out of the book.